St. Louis, November 26, 1964, PM reading.
Of the The spirit of God will come to you, but the Holy Ghost sets down from hell. Which sends his angels to heaven to look into it. Wherefore, God is held on with your man, your soldier, and hope to the king. For the grace that is to be brought up to you, that the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fasting from ourselves, upon the fallen world and your kingdom, but the grace that you have called you to be holy, to be equal in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And you call on the Father who without respect of persons, just as far as you ever land for, cast the time your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know, this is a mockery, a corruptible thing to fill the control from the vain conversation, received by tradition from your soul. But with the precious blood of Christ, as the lamp without blemish, without spot, who there was foreordained for the foundation of the world, but was manifest in his last time for you. Who by him who believes in God, was raised from the dead, and gave him glory, that he was faith in both my faith and God. To the spirit and his unfeigned love for the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of temporal seed, from the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, for all flesh is his grace, and all the Lord's hand is his plow's grace. The grass withers, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Notice here that the connection of the inheritance, they greatly rejoice. But it's the person of Christ who was not as it seemed in love, and a little ago now you see him not yet believing. Rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. They could greatly rejoice in what was about to be revealed. Great emphasis should be put on the word ready, salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, as I said the last time, ever since the Lord was here. Because there's nothing more that the Lord can offer to man. This salvation is ready to be revealed. When left, they can greatly rejoice. But on the way, there might be a manifold temptation under many pressures and trials, difficulties. So now for season if need be, your heaviness through manifold temptations. Evidently, they had suffered intensely. For verse 12 of chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, take it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. They couldn't put this together. They've been promised blessing on the earth. And the Messiah had been cut off. Still, they believed in him. And as a consequence, they were thrown into many sufferings. And even the prophets verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. In danger of wishing a shortcut. The Lord didn't change it to the temptations in the wilderness.
Thinking here, too, we have in our work, he's ready to be revealed in the last time. And in the third chapter, in the 15th verse, we have. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So that's in the pathway here too, isn't it?
Yes.
Now look over in the fourth chapter and in the fifth verse, and we find another thought. Who shall tell me the verse before, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot and speak evil of you? Well, the conflict is still here. And then, who shall judge the, who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick or the living and the dead? Oh, the blessed man that has been put on Calvary that was rejected here is the man that we're following. And if we're asked concerning the hope, we're to tell them. But it's, and we don't want to run with the same excessive pride. We don't enter into those things that they have their pleasure in because we've been brought to Christ. But it's coming soon when that blessed man is going to rise up and he's going to judge the living and the dead. All coming under his hand, not getting out of control, it might look like it, but it's all still subject to him. God overrules.
Coming a day when those who are doing the persecuting will be called to account for them. And rest with this expression, if need be, I believe we can say then that there's never a trial that the Lord allows to us unless there be a need be for it. We might not see it, but he sees.
That it might be found under praise and honor and glory of the authority of Jesus Christ. Through trial, we more directly thrown upon the Lord, and we become acquainted with him in a way makes himself known to us. We gain something that we would otherwise miss.
Words of the psalmist, thou hast kept Lord to me when I was in distress. Humanly speaking, it's contradictory, isn't it?
Yes.
Thou shalt remember all the ways the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. And then we'll see, as we do not know, that his hand has led us moment by moment with infinite love and wisdom.
Here in our seventh verse, it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. Now, the monetary systems of this world are based on gold, the value of the gold, how that's how from human glory is based on the work of Christ, and so those exercises through which godly wisdom allows us to pass in order to be more valuable than the most precious gold of the sea, but it's going to be for the coming kingdom glory. It'll have a humbling effect on us down here, will it not? Put the old man in his place, that the new man might go in the things he wants.
And that's needful for us.
Yeah.
Thinking of that scripture, is it Malachi, he shall sit in the refiner as building. He will not leave. He sits and he watches. Sometimes it might seem in time of trial as though the Lord isn't paying much attention to our cries, but he's watching over us moment by moment. One to another, it's good to be reminded of the precious truth of God. You may fail a great deal in not realizing it. And as you fail on, you begin to murmur in time of deep trial. But as God brings His word before us and the truth, the Spirit of God makes it good to us when the time stops.
Sometimes we hear the story in connection with this verse of a man that was falsely accused being cast into prison. And he had to wear a chain, a ball of iron, for a long time. And it developed through additional proof or facts that he was innocent, and the king ordered the keeper of the prison to release him, and also to issue a special reward to this man who had wrongly suffered. And the reward was to be an equal amount of gold to the weight of the chain and the ball of iron. Well, that was quite a reward. And as the story goes, the man was asked about it, and looking back over his weary days in the prison, under false accusation, suffering, as he pulled that to chain and ball around, it turned out very favorably, and he was inclined to wish that it had been him. Well, here, the tribes of the way will be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
might get a blessing in our soul here, but on the other hand, we might not. It might be named for the coming day of glory. God and His goodness might reserve for that day for us to enjoy it with Him. Won't enjoy all things down here.
No, that's just one reason, I think, why the enemy sometimes brings doubt and stress to our hearts. We seem to feel that the Lord should answer according to His mercy and goodness. Sometimes He lets us suffer for doing right and for obeying His word, but there'll be the reward in that coming day, won't it? Sometimes He does deliver and He encourages. Other times He may allow our faith to be tried. But one thing we can rest assured in, He'll never permit more than we're able to bear. We have something in that, Brother Jevitt, in the 22nd of Genesis. After these things, God did try Abraham. He led him up to a certain point, up to a place where he knew that he could try him the way that he did. I believe that he may be true with us, isn't he?
Yes.
He speaks to Timothy, Father, good advice, finish my course, henceforth, and lead up into the crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, but only, not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing.
Raptors, the Lord coming for His people in the name of Himself.
For the young people, they coming with His saints is here.
Something that He has to call away His people in order that He might allow the judgments to fall upon the earth, that they might be straightened out so it would appear in His kingdom.
Lord's coming for the believer is never connected to judgment, is it?
All the judgment that come to the child of God have all been born by himself. Comes to take the things of God home to glory before the judgment falls, before the judgment must fall then on this Christ rejecting world. The world has rejected the present state, so the judgment must fall then. But here that day comes, we have a better, like Enoch, is called home to glory before the judgment of the flood fell here. Precious is next verse is Peter had seen the world and had enjoyed his company, seen through different exercises with the blessed faith. But here he says, whom having not seen, you must see. I have, even I haven't seen the Lord Jesus by the eyes of faith. New man, a heart without the enjoyment of Christ, filled the heart, filled as nothing else than Christ.
Natural man receiveth not the things God. He would be unable to speak to the natural man of the love in our hearts and grace to our blessed Savior, and how it has been proven that the power of that love by the Spirit is stronger than our own natural life. Rather than deny him, we would be willing to give up our lives for his sake. We've never seen him. That's the work of God.
Thomas saw, I believe, verse 24, but Thomas, one of the 12, called him, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we see the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hand the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, the next first day of the week, they again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door of his God, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace of you." And he knew what Thomas had said. He saith to him, "Reach here thy finger, behold my hands. Reach here thy hand and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." Thomas answered, said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Well, that was nice, proper, gracious of the Lord. Thomas saw him and acknowledged him in that way, and it's representative of those that will acknowledge him in a future day. And they see him, and they learn why those nail prints are in his hands. Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou see me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet have believed." Well, that comes to us, and we are under that part of the verse.
Thinking here of the connection between two prophets in Israel, Elijah and Elijah. Elijah means, "My God is the Lord." And Elijah means, "My God is salvation." So here you have the one speaking of Israel and bringing Israel in the blessing, so to speak, of Elijah's faith. And Elijah, the man who has crossed the Jordan and gone, walked on resurrection ground in newness of life, so you have salvation as a result. Walking in newness of life before God.
Thinking of the two things we have in Scripture, the references of God and our response to it, and often there is a great difference, isn't it? Think of the two verses that come to me. One is from the end of the 17th of John. In the 22nd verse, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." That part of this verse. "And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The Father loves us, loves with the love of the Son." Now, turn to another verse in the 15th of John. John 15, verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." The Father loves us with the love wherewith he loves his Son. The Son loves us with the love wherewith the Father loves him. Now that will close, those things will never change. But our realization of them by faith, our appropriating it to our hearts, and walking. walking in the goodness, that is another thing. The response of our love may be very feeble, at that sometimes hardly noticeable. So, but that does not change the fact that the Father loves us and the Son loves us.
The next step is the 14th chapter in the 23rd verse, man on love. He stands and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. So in communion we have the enjoyment of the Father and the Son.
That's communion as a result of obedience. And so the exhortation is huge, as you were reading before, Brother Jevon, keep yourselves in the love of God. It's the exhortation to us. That love never changes. It is always infinite. What would you say is the secret of that love being eternal?
Well, it's conditional to keeping His word, isn't it?
Yes. I want to have that mind, too, as we're occupied with Him and with that love, His love to us. Gaze up into the glory upon Him, there will be the response from our hearts, will it not?
Yeah.
And apart from that, that is really the secret of that love being eternal.
Like to sing, oh, I love Jesus, but really he should have been singing the other way around. Being occupied with his love is returning for the
reminds me of an incident. You may have heard this is Brother Mitchell Potter, how long with the Lord. He went to visit a brother who was dying, and the brother seemed a little disturbed. Oh, he said, Mr. Potter, I feel I don't love the Lord like I ought. And Mr. Potter said to him, I feel sorry for you if you thought you did. Thought there was much in that. When will we hear you, Lord? I might even say in eternity, love the Lord as we ought. It's an infinite love. But I believe the more we're occupied with Him and come to Him just as we are, with our thoughts, as we gaze upon His face and realize something of His love to us by the Spirit, that will cause our love to warm. And there'll be the return.
Faith believing what connects us with the Word is through the Word that we have come to know Him. And it's through the Word that communion is gained, realized with Him. We get two comings of that 14th of John. The
Lord's coming for his own, that they might be with him. And then in another way he comes. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless or as orphans, I will come to you. So we have in verse 23, as we noted already, if a man love me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In Ohio, a brother was riding down the highway, and the question was asked him, Brother, has the Lord ever been along this road? Boy, he said, yes, he's been along this road many times with me. On a long highway in communion with the Lord. The Father and the Son have manifested themselves to it. In the way of communion.
Yes.
I believe there is in the other translation, in the 23rd verse, he will keep my word. I don't think the S is on there.
Yes.
Verse of, and in the 21st verse, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. There is manifestation. Commandments are, what's that? A direct word. And if that is obeyed, there is a sense of the Lord's presence. But I think what we have in the 23rd verse goes further, doesn't it?
Yes,
he that he will keep my word. It's that sense that the Holy Spirit gives to us of walking in the path that is pleasing to the Lord according to His Word. It might not be a special commandment in that way.
It would be similar to the verse in the 119th Psalm. Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee.
His word is given in our hearts. It will keep us from it. Words of thy lips have I kept me from the path that is destroyed.
It would appear that these strangers scattered and that believed in the Lord measure of enjoyment of that blessed one as the apostle did. Yet believing, he rejoiced with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Isn't it true that a believer, after the word has been completed, who lives now or was living then, and by the measure of the word was complete, maybe at that time? Even now, with all the range of the word that we have and the gift of the Holy Spirit to think of the things of Christ and to show them to us, is it possible for us to know him in this bold way and perhaps better than we would have if we'd come in with him in his labors? We sometimes sing, you know, how nice it would have been to be near the end. I wish that his hands had been laid on my head. We sing in the children's meeting. Well, that is wonderful. That would have been a privilege to be a little one brought to Jesus and put into his arms. Well, he still has faith, he still has us, and we know him through the word and by faith and in the power of the Spirit and by communion, and we can be occupied with him in this way here, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not yet believe, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Reading for you that I go away, I go not away, and the multitude will not come unto you.
Yes.
When I was thinking of the Apostle John, who leaned on his bosom and that, and had intimacy of communion and enjoyment of Christ as he walked here and in his company and that, but when you get over into the epistles, the Lord had gone home. And yet you'll find a deepening joy there that filled the apostle's heart. It was because he was walking in communion with God. And he was in that enjoyment of the man that he had known here, but now was in glory.
Glory at the end, of course, full of glory.
Yes.
That's some of the thoughts. The God of glory appeared unto Abraham. Not the Abraham thought, but it's the God of glory.
Next one, here. Chapter of the epistle, and first, God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory. And after that, you have suffered a while, make the perfect, establish strength and set and so forth. But the God of all grace has come to us, made himself known to our hearts. Here he tells us he calls us on the eternal glory. What a wonderful portion this is to be called into something like that and enabled in grace to enjoy it here.
Glory is eternal and suffering for a while.
Yes.
What we have in our chapter 2. Awful season, and you need to be
it is an expert, the end of their faith, the salvation of your soul.
Let's realize now we await the redemption of the body. And this he had to write to these about because the salvation they had expected was from their enemies and the blessing on the earth. But this is salvation of your soul. That's the reason it would be such an enjoyment of the Lord, as indicated in verse 8. That is the soul. The question of soul salvation. Enjoyment of the Lord.
That is for eternity, isn't it?
Yes. Testimony of the prophets after that which was to come. The work of the Holy Spirit, which the gospel was preached down in heaven, which the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And then in verse 13, the grace that is to be brought unto you with the revelation of Jesus Christ. All this being true, he exhorts them, and they were to walk in fear, not because of any uncertainty, but because they were sure.
Without respect of persons. things I know are not right, and he's going on. Well, that need not stumble us, that God is no respect for persons.
By him to believe in God. Well, our faith in God, this hope that we have, is through Christ, not by the testimony of creation or through the law of Mount Sinai or not on any other basis, except by him, the one that accomplished redemption's work. By him that they believed in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Well, that's something solid to rest upon. Down here, and probably we should, but we've never been disappointed in him. He's a believer, and him shall not be confounded.
Government are two distinct things. thy heart the word of the Lord and do it forever.
Oh, Lord, St. Louis, November 26, 1964, AM reading.